जयं विश्वपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान अभिचरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जयं नित्यलीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की आनंद मोड़ी वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौरभक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविंदनाथ श्याम कुंड कारथा कुंडगिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरवरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की हेमन माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग ऑल ग्लोरियस टू श्री प्रभुपाद नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रसाय भूदले श्रीमदे भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नामिनी नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रजारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसार सागरे मग्नम दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राह गृहीतांगं मामुद्धर भवार्णवात् श्रीमद्भागवताख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि श्रीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं मम सागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफलः सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपापप्रणाशनम् प्रणामो दुःखशमन तं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्माद्यस्य यदोन्वयादिदरदस्यार्थेष्वभिज्ञस्वरा तेने ब्रह्महृदाय आदिगवये मुह्यन्दियल् सूरय तेजो वारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा नाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि धर्मप्रोज्जितगैदवोऽत्र परमो निर्मल्सराणां सदा वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तुशिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वावरैरीश्वरसद्यो हृद्यवरुद्यदेऽत्र कृतिभि शुश्रूषुभि तल्क्षणा निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं बलं शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतं पिबद भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तावत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमः यं प्रव्रजन्तमनुभेदमभेदकृत्यं द्वैवायिनो विरहगादरमाजुहाव पुत्रेति तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु सं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानदोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपमदिदिदीर्षदां तमोन्दं संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यम् तं व्याससूनुमुपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदादृदानन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भतां मुरारे मधुरीं नक्कणिगापि कापि कापि नमा ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूदले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवीं गौरवाणी प्रजारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे श्रीमल् गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः वन्दे नन्दव्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्टशा यासां हरिगदोद्गीतं पुनादिभुवनत्रयं गोपीचरणारविन्द परमाणवे नमः पीताम्बरं करविराजितशङ्खचक्रं कौमोदगी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायमतिसुन्दरमन्दहासं वादालेशमनिशं हृदि भावयामि കോമളം കുജയന് വേണം ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദി പരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസതാംബുരതോമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയിലേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ Chamasa Maharshi told King Nimi that the people who, due to karma asakti, attachment to karma, all that he does is kama krodham increases in a person. And he said, Rajasa Ghora Sankalpa Kamuga Ahimanyava. Seventh verse. Dampiga Manina Pava Vihasandi Achyuta Priyan. So, in due to their were increased Rajogunam in them, they take to some processes which are Abhijaravarti, which is not the preferred route. It is the wrong way to go. And due to bad sankalpam in them, and also due to excessive propensity for enjoying sex life, all that, very angry and hung and pride, and also they offend the devotees of Krishna's devotees, right? So we are saying there that vadandide anyonya upasita striyo griheshu maithunya pareshu chashisha yajanda srishtan avidhana dakshinam vrittei param gnandi pashuna tadvida. So instead of worshipping those people with high realizations, Jnanavriddham, they are called people with high spiritual realizations. Instead of serving them, they are happy to be at home to serving the women. And that too for the sake of fulfilling their gratification, sense gratification. So, and the topic of discussion is always about sense gratification, right? So, and they are dreaming about it, kama sandarpanam. and they also don't follow any injunctions to the Vedam, and without performing the proper sacrifices required along with their activities, in the name of Yajnam, they will do something in this world. And kama bhogam, or in other words, fulfilling their sense enjoyment, is only a thing that is working in their head. At the same time, they are very miser in spending the money, so therefore they will not do things in a proper way. They'll try to curtail their expenditure when they are engaged in some spiritual activities. And in the name of charity, they'll do some things which they think that it is proper, right? So, only for the sake of name and fame, they will engage in some charitable activities, right? And they have very strong conviction within them that they should have enough happiness in this world and in the life after death. So these are all their sankalpam. And they also want to be respected in the society, and they want to have a name and fame, and at different times, in the history, if you look back in the different times, you get a name and fame and respect for different reasons, right? In the times when these were written, at that time the Karmakandam was popular, Vaidika Karmakandam. Karmakandam was very extensively followed by people. So at that time people became famous by performing big sacrifices. So different times these things change. At the time when this was written, Bhagavatam was written, Karmakandam was very prominent and people were honored and given respect when they performed big sacrifices, right? And that is why you can see that Daksha performed that Brihaspati Savam because of that. And Brihaspati Savam is a very expensive thing, but he wanted to show to the world that I am capable of performing this Brihaspati Savam. That was in his mind, right? And others have to accept that, and he wanted to be recognized by others. In this way, in order to get respect in the society and recognition from the people, he began that Brihaspati Savam, right? And so only one who has that wealth and capacity to spend like that, they only could do such a thing. So, so different people did things in different ways, right? Daksha's time, it was yajnam, a yagam. That was the main thing, right? And, but while doing that, it was not performed based on the Vedic injunctions. Instead, he did something what he thought is appropriate. Therefore, he did not have the attention and the belief, faith in the yajnam. On the other hand, his desire was recognition in the world and also the intention to offend the Lord Shiva. So, in that way, that yajnam has become simply a whitewash, in the sense it has not delivered the proper benefit from that. Right. So, if he had proper faith in that, then he will be more concerned about his life in this world and the life after death. Right. Similarly, all the other associated rituals involved with that, annadanam, and also dakshina, all in all those things, he would have been very much focused on that, which he wasn't. So that's what that eighth verse is saying. Then he said that the Shriya Vibhutya Bijanena Vidyaya Tyagena Rubena Belena Karmana Yadasmayo and Antadiyo Saheshwaran Sadau Avamanyandi Haripriyan Khala. So instead of performing the upasana for the jnanavriddhas, learned personalities, right, they are more interested in the looking after women and for the sake of their gratification, right? And they talk about the profit they are going to make from everything. In this way they live in a dream world. So, in the eighth verse, he said about upasita striyo graheshu maithunya pareshu chashisha, that simply for the sake of sense gratification, they are happy to be serving the women, right? And in the name of yajnam, not following the injunctions properly, they will execute different yagam. And when you perform big yajnam or yagam like that, you will be recognized. So, those people who perform the yajnam, Agnihotris they are called, they get well rewarded in the form of dakshina of the by the wealthy people, right? So so in the name of receiving a good dakshina, and some people, some Agnihotris, they take to this yagam, right? And when they don't perform the yagam in the proper way, there they may have to face the problem with the pashu himsa, because there is a lot, sometimes animals are sacrificed in that. But they don't care about that. And wealth, opulences, position, abhijatyam, vidya, all these things are dhanam, dharmam. due to various things, they become very proud. And in that, due to that pride, they do not respect devotees. They have no bhakti there. In their mind, they have no bhakti, so therefore they don't respect devotees, right? And also, they have no faith in the authority, Krishna's authority, Ishvara. Also, they offend. If somebody tries to bring them in the right direction, and give them guidance in these matters, they won't accept that. On the other hand, they will become very aggressive and arrogant towards them. So, in other words, when they are advised good things, they offend those people who give them the advice, and they also offend Krishna, who is present in the heart of those devotees, because they speak arrogantly or offensively to them. So, Mahatmas are those people who carry Krishna within their heart. And if you offend them, it is as bad as offending the Antaryami inside, Krishna inside, right? And these things like wealth, excessive wealth, position, power, opulences, and good birth, abhijatyam, vidya, knowledge, charity, dhanam, and all these things create pride in a person's mind, and the tendency is there to offend people who are taken Krishna shelter, devotees in other words, right? So, so in this way, all their so-called yagam eventually ends up in more sinful reactions from that, rather than making any progress on the spiritual path, right? So, when in the past this was happened many times, but nowadays it's different. Things have gone so far from the truth. Previously, very wealthy families, they will have many members in the family, many children in the family. So one instance, one person, he died. And big wealthy family they were. There were so many members in that family, well respected in the society, and plenty of wealth. And at that time, all the members of the family, they were very cooperative, and they lived together without any ill feelings, right? So, and the mother who was left out, father died, and the mother was there. So, mother's birthday, 80th birthday came, and they invited many people to come for the for that occasion, right? So, it also happened that a sannyasi came there for bhiksha. He came there, right? So there was a system there that the sannyasis come, they have a separate facility for them, for giving them bhiksha, right? So, this sannyasi belong to a particular group. Sannyasis also, there are different groups of sannyasis belonging to different categories, right? This sannyasi won't touch fire. There are sannyasis like that, they won't touch fire. There, they won't accept grains, because they won't accept grains and they won't cook. They only accept cooked food, not uncooked. He has come from another place, right? So he said to them that the facility there was for sannyasis, normal way, and they said that we don't accept grains, we will only accept food, cooked food, right? So they, without understanding the sannyasi's situation, they told him that you have to wait then till others have finished, right? It is a lot different than today. You have to remember this when these things were done. There were different customs in practice. So, unfortunately, none of the children of this mother were there. They didn't take notice of this sannyasi who had come for this program, right? They had no problem in giving him food, but on that particular day they delayed giving him prasadam on time, right? So, everything, there were so many people, guests had come, and in the middle of that, this sannyasi was somehow not taken seriously. He was left without giving sufficient attention to him, right? So he said that something he spoke in his language, which others didn't understand, but someone in the group did understand what he said. He said that the time has come that all this opulence is going to go, he said. Something in connection with that, which he didn't appreciate the way they dealt with him. So he spoke something in that way, right? somehow or the other, they did not honor him properly. Sannyasi should have been fed first, but they didn't do that. Anyway, he waited for some time and then he walked out. He didn't stay for prasadam. He just went without saying anything, right? It didn't take very long after that. In a few months' time, all these members of the family started fighting each other. Because of the offense committed to that sannyasi, it has come back in this way. The family members, although they have lived very harmoniously before, disagreements started developing between them and they started arguing and fighting each other, and everything got destroyed. The whole family lost its wealth and they all went in different directions. They left home and they went to different places. So all that unity and the harmonious relationship they had gone away with that. So when pride comes and money comes, opulence comes, our mind changes. We become very proud and become offensive to others. And in that process, we may go and insult people, personalities, mahatmas who carry Krishna within their heart. It is as bad as offending Krishna directly, offending these mahatmas. So they are not able to understand that. Sarveshu Shashvatanupilsavastidam Yadhakham Almanam Abhishtam Ishwaram Vedobagidam Najasranode Abhuda Manuradhanam Prabhadandi Vartaya. So why do they not understand Vedam properly? This is the question. Why they don't understand it properly, right? Even though Krishna is present in all the living entities as their very self insight, and as Ishvara, Andaryami inside, And one who is present all over the creation, like the space is present. And at the same time, Krishna is not, or Antaryami is not, touched by our mind or senses or intelligence, nothing, right? Without sticking to anything, he remains with asangam, without any sangam with everything, and living in all living entities, and that Ishvara is glorified in the Vedam. He is glorified in the Vedam. So, in all living entities, one who is present as their very self, and similarly like space, not affected by anything what is present in the space. In other words, even though Krishna is present in everyone, our gross body and our subtle body or the senses, none of them has any contact with Antaryami, direct contact with Antaryami, right? So therefore, he remains like the space inside us, he remains without any sangam, any connection with gross or subtle body or through the senses, right? He is still the very soul of everyone, and he is the controller of everything, he is the Antaryami of everybody, and Vedam glorifies that Antaryami in a big way. And but Jiva, Ahankaram, completely ignores him and got busy with the vyavaharam in the world and sense gratification in the world and thinking about the material happiness, they do not understand the message of Vedam. The actual message of Vedam, they do not understand, right? So, what he is saying is that Krishna is present in everyone as the Antaryami, right? And he is also the Ishvara. Antaryami is present, and Antaryami is present, the Jiva is there. And all the operations happens inside in the subtle body and in our life, right? And Ishvara is Antaryami. Ishvara is present inside as Antaryami. But at the same time, like space, Agasham, he has no sangam with anything within us, with our gross body or the subtle body, right? And similarly, with our stulam, sushmam, gross body or subtle body, or pranam, or senses, none of them has any contact with Antaryami. None of them has any contact with Antaryami, right? Even though ultimately they all come from him. So, Ishvara, who is present in everyone in this format as Antaryami, that is what is glorified in the Vedam and in the Upanishads, right? So, Vedartham is very clear. Vedam is very clear on this, right? But due to attraction for sense gratification, that thinking completely caught up in that sense gratification, right? And talking about it all the time, these persons, they are not able to recognize Krishna's presence inside as Antaryami. They miss the point, right? It is so clear. Shastram is very clear. Shastram is saying that Krishna is inside as Antaryami, but he has no contact with our gross body, subtle body, senses or anything. And these people who are learned, in spite of all this, they know the presence of Antaryami inside. Somehow or the other, they are caught up in the world with vyavaharam, with the various transactions, and also they get caught up in the sense gratification and completely ignores Krishna inside as Antaryami, right? And they invite their own destruction in that way, right? So that is when he talked about that loke vivaya mishamadya seva nityasti jandor nahi tatra chodana vivastiri steshu vivaha yajnam suragrahai rasa nivrti rishta, which we have spoken yesterday that normally a person who is absorbed in Vaidya karma, right? One who believes in Vedam rigidly, very strongly believes in that, and very sincerely he believes in the Vedic rituals. What is his mentality? So in Vedam, there are so many things spoken in the Vedam for the sake of happiness in this world. Sacrifices spoken in the Vedam for happiness in this world, right? And when that is spoken in the Vedam, the results are spoken in the Bhalashruti and it is glorified a lot. So, it could be for the sake of those people who don't have children, for the sake of children, and those who don't have wealth, they want to have wealth, power, position, name, fame, things like that. All these things, these are the important things what one looks for in this world, is it not? These kind of things, wealth, health, happy family, name, fame, all these what one considers important in this world, right? So Bhalashruti talks about those things, right? And after reading those Bhalashruti, they perform to get those results, they perform these big, big sacrifices, right? And as far as they are concerned, the purpose of Vedam is finished there. This is the problem with these people. Karmagandam they study well, and they receive the Bhalashruti in the Karmagandam, and they think that Karmagandam and Vedam is only for this purpose, to become famous, or name and fame, or wealth, or family, and comforts, and sense gratification in this world. So, for them, Vedam is for that purpose. And they take it that way. And then Vedam also promises a happy life after death. So what more do you want? So they are stuck there. They are not able to move from there to Jnanakandam. This is what he is talking about, right? So they consider that Vedam is only only gives you these things. This is what Vedam offering us. A comfortable material life here with all its glories and a comfortable life after death as well. And so their understanding of Vedam is limited to that, the people who follow this Karmagandam. And they take Karmagandam part of Vedam so seriously. And they are driven by that. So, so they spend their whole life in this Vaidya Karmam. They don't move into Jnanakandam, right? So, his mentality will be like this, Karmatan, Vaidya Karmatam, right? In other words, they have understood Vedam in a different way than it should have been. Right? Vedam has spoken about nivritti, bhoga nivritti, how to become free from sense gratification and not unrestrictedly, freely engaging in sense gratification is not the goal of Vedam. That means that is the essence of the teachings in the Vedam. Jnanakandam comes out with that, right? But somehow or the other, their attention don't go into that side of it. They are stuck in this Karmagandam and all the benefits of Karmagandam in this life as well as life after death. And no interest in turning into the Jnanakandam and to understand what exactly is the conclusion of the Vedam. So, able to come out of this sense gratification, enjoying propensity in us, upabhoga asakti, and to become free from that, gradually come out of that and take us into sadhana process, spiritual sadhana process, and through that self-realization, this is the purpose of that, but that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen. And that is what we are saying, karma mokshaya karmani, how to get out of karma through karma. They forget that, this one particular principle. All these sacrifices spoken in the Vedam is for the purpose of chitta shuddhi, not for sense gratification. They are not able to catch that. They are not able to follow that properly. So, all the karmagandam is spoken to make us free from karma vasana. What karma vasana we have created from previous lives, right? So, it is for that purpose the karmagandam is, and they are not able to understand that. This all happened in that way. Whatever karma mochaya karmani, it says later about that, right? So, the purpose of all these karmam, jnanam, yajnam, yagam and all that is in the Vedam for the sake of making us to develop detachment, vairagyam, and from that chitta shuddhi to happen. But instead, they consider that all this is good for sense gratification and they have taken it in the wrong way, in the opposite way, right? So, so in other words, in simple terms, the real message of Vedam, they are missing the point. They are not getting it, right? The reason for that is, they studied the Shastram from people, not from realized souls, but from people who are scholars, but who are not realized the truth. Right? From scholars they have learned it. And these scholars did not have the proper conclusions in there. They studied Shastram, but from wrong people. That's the result of that. Right? So, and those scholars who taught them, they taught them Vedam in such a way, in the opposite way. Instead of teaching them the right message, they have taught them the wrong message to them. So, we talked about this lakshyartham, vachyartham, right? Lakshyartham is important, not vachyartham, right? So, karmagandam, if you look at it, karmam is glorified big way, and the results of their karma, halashodhi, is also very high, right? And it's all bhogasugam, sense gratification, right? So, when you first read it and hear from someone, you will carry the impression that this karmagandam in the Vedam is only for the sake of bhogasugam, for sense gratification. This misunderstanding is likely to come if you hear karmagandam from people who have not learned things in the proper way. So, people who do not have any spiritual culture, completely materialistic in heart, right? He will see this karma, and if he engages in these karma, if he does them with samarpana buddhi, with surrender, what he will develop is chitta shuddhi. He won't understand that, how that happens. He is not able to understand that, right? So, so because there is no bhakti, there is no samarpana buddhi, these two important things, there is no bhakti in the heart, there is no surrender either, and therefore, they accept that sense gratification is the goal of karmagandam. So, and because there is no spiritual culture in them, if you tell them about spiritual culture, it won't get into their head either. So they do not know that these yagam, yajnam and everything, or homam in the Vedam, is to elevate people who are in tamogunam and gradually to bring them to rajogunam first, right? And to prevent them from performing forbidden things in this world. It is for that purpose, because when you are in tamogunam, you won't do anything unless you are offered some benefit from that. It's not like in sattvagunam. So, and those who are in tamogunam, they have to come to rajogunam first. So, in order to attract them from tamogunam to rajogunam, all this bhalashurdi is spoken in the karmagandam, right? But actual goal is not that. Actual goal is that to perform this karmam with the samarpana buddhi and also sharanagati, and with that you develop chitta shuddhi and come to sattvagunam. That's the goal of that, right? From those who are in tamogunam, it is very difficult to say anything to them because they won't understand it because of the tamogunam inside, right? So, that is what he will say here. Karma mochaya karmani. The purpose of Vedam is to become free from karma. And how to do that? And that is what karmagandam is all about. So, this bhoga sukham, what you get, what is spoken in the Vedam, is like giving the sugar candy for the child so that he will perform the karma. At least seeing that he will perform the karma. But the goal is not that. The goal is to bring him to sattvagunam and for chitta shuddhi. It's a very subtle thing, but, and it is difficult to make people understand this for a large number of people to capture this point. That from tamogunam to rajogunam to sattvagunam. So these benefits that's offered, or the results offered in the karmakandam, is for the sake of elevating a person from tamogunam to sattvagunam through chitta shuddhi to happen. But due to from tamogunam, unless you have some concrete benefits from performing sacrifices, you won't do it. Because in tamogunam, that is our position. So when we are in tamogunam, we need to be convinced that I'll get some benefit from that. And that benefit has to be very solid and concrete benefit. And that for them in tamogunam is only sense gratification. Whereas chitta shuddhi is a very abstract thing. You won't easily understand what chitta shuddhi means. Chitta shuddhi means sattvagunam. Towards sattvagunam you are moving. Which is not, it's not measurable. You can't measure that. And you can't notice it, unlike the sense gratification, right? So, because it is subtle thing, it is difficult for many people to understand the purpose of karmagandam on a higher level, on a higher plane, right? So, the idea behind all this is that, at least by desiring results, let them do such karmam what is allowed by the Vedam. At least let them not go and do forbidden karmam, nishiddha karmam, and invite more trouble. They become more entangled in karma. And that way karma vasana also. So in order to save them from that situation, karmagandam gives this option, that you engage in karma allowed by the Vedam, which is the sacrifices, karmagandam, right? So if you do that, they will elevate themselves from tamogunam to rajogunam, right? And they will get opportunity for bhoga sukham, but they are not clear about this one point, that the goal is not this bhoga sukham. It has to be even higher than that, coming to sattvagunam and developing chitta shuddhi, right? So, rojanartha bhala shruti. Earlier we've spoken about that, right? So the thing is that how to change people's karma? This is the question. Isn't it? We have, everyone has attraction for karma. And Vedam has given certain track within which one should operate so that we don't go and do wrong things. Nishiddha karma, forbidden things, right? So, but the way Vedam does that is through karma kandam. And if you learn the science of Veda Shastram from the right authorities, you will know that purpose of Vedam is not to drag you into sense gratification, instead to drag you out from karma and elevate you to develop chitta shuddhi, purification of the heart, and in that process become qualified for receiving the knowledge of the self, antaryami. But unfortunately they don't understand that, and they think that this Bhalashuni is the whole conclusion of the Vedam, Karmagandam, and they don't learn the Vedam from the right source, and they conduct their life based on this false understanding of the Vedam, and they will spend their whole life in that way, and the scholars who have taught them Vedam has missed this point to tell them that the purpose of Vedam is ultimately to bring them to Chitta Shuddhi, through Karmagandam to Chitta Shuddhi, and eventually through Chitta Shuddhi become qualified for cultivation of spiritual knowledge and self-realization, right? So for such people, what happens? Because they got misled. Even though in Tamogunam they have come to the Rajogunam, but they got misled. Because of the being misled by that, they got lost their opportunity for self-realization, and they fall back into material existence again, and they destroy themselves. That's what Chamasa Maharshi has spoken this strongly about it in these verses, right? So yesterday we saw this, right? That the purpose of everything is ultimately is self-realization. Mukti tanyasarupam surubhyanam vyavasthiti, right? So if chitta shuddhi comes in a person through karma kandam, right, then naturally that person will have a desire for separating Atma from Anatma. That means he will become serious about realizing the self, right? Atma and Anatma, separating them. How do you do that? You require the help of a guru at that stage, right? And from a qualified person who, in Shastram, and he has to learn this from a guru, and receiving it from a guru in the proper way is knowledge, jnanam. So what does that mean? To come to this point that Krishna is the only truth, everything else is mithya. Brahmam satyam, jagat mithya. This realization to come, right? If that awareness is strong inside, then naturally that person will be detached from the world. There will be no attraction for the worldly objects, right? Vairagyam. And he will be focused on self-realization. That means his attraction towards the satyam, the truth, will be very strong inside. And then obviously he will follow the instructions given by the guru, and he will progress in the path of self-realization, right? So you can see following Vedam through Karmakandam comes to Chitta Shuddhi, Chitta Shuddhi to Bhakti, and through Bhakti to Jnanam, and Jnanam comes Paroksham first, and then Avaroksha Jnanam, and then he comes called eligible for liberation at the end, right? So, we saw yesterday that Artham is for that purpose, right? And Artham is for, we saw yesterday, Kamasi Indriya Pedir Labo Jiveda Yavada Jivasya Tattva Jijnyasa Na Tohe Chaya Karma Bhi. So, wealth is, Artham, is for the sake of executing Dharma, which will help us to take us to moksha at the end, right? And because of that, but if one gets misguided and spend the Artham for sense gratification, right, he is not conscious of the death waiting at the doorstep. And it is quite possible that all the wealth he has acquired and the sense gratification he was expecting from the wealth will all be gone with that, right? Because death can come any time in life, right? So wealth and all the sense gratification from the wealth and this body which is meant for that sense gratification, right? All these things you can lose. You can lose the body and the wealth you have acquired for sense gratification through the body, and as well as the all the sense gratification, you can lose everything. The wealth, the sense gratification, and including this body can all go. So, but a person who is absorbed in sense gratification, he won't know this. His mind won't work in that direction. So that's what he is mentioned in the 13th verse, right? Yad grana bhaksho vihidasuraya tatha pasho alabhanam nahimsa evam vivaya prajaya naratya imam vishuddham navidusva dharmam. We saw yesterday this asakti, attachment for alcohol, madhyavanam. For that, Sautramani was spoken, right? But in Sautramani also, it's not that you can get drunk as much as you want. That's not what it is mentioned there, right? You are allowed to smell the alcohol, right? But actually drinking is not allowed. Even if we have to drink, it has to be so restricted, right? Not that you get drunk and enjoy the life like the way many enjoys in this world. Not in that way, right? So, Sautramani even doesn't allow that, right? Then he says here, Tatha pasho alabhanam nahimsa. Alabhanam is allowed, himsa is not allowed, right? So, so, alabhanam means that based on the devata, particular form that you are performing the sacrifices, right? With him in the mind, the mrgahimsa, violence, right? It's a particular, sometimes they kill their animal by blocking its breath. That's called alabhanam. Not by slitting the throat, some people do, by blocking the breath. Right? So, that violence, that violent way of doing that is allowed by the Vedam. So, it is accepted that it is not considered to be a violence when you kill in that way. Right? That is why it was said there, Pasho alabhanam na himsa. See that? Yad grana bhaksho vihida suraya Tatha Pasho Alabhanam Nahimsa. Right? So similarly, for the sake of having children, or in order to continue the progeny, and you are allowed to have a relationship with the wife, right? So only for the sake of having children, you are allowed to have a relationship with wife, right? Not for your sense gratification. So, and that is how Sanatana Dharma sees these things. Maximum control on everything. Because we have, as he said, we have these vasanas inside us, difficult to control, because the natural way at a particular time these desires come, manifest within us. Therefore, in a very restricted form, these things are, particularly these three things. Mamsam, grana bhaksham, that means you can smell the alcohol but not drink. Vihita surayam, tada pasho alabhanam nahimsa. Through alabhanam you can kill the animal, not through other way. And similarly, evam vivaya prajaya naratya. For having children you can have sex life, nothing else otherwise. Not for simply enjoying sex. That's not allowed. Just to have children you can have relationship with the wife. Not otherwise, right? Imam vishyabdam na vidhu sodharmam. And they are not allowed, they are not aware of all these things. And what Sanatana Dharma is talking about, right? So, in order to curtail our gratification and that vasana, they have introduced all these things in a very limited way, allowed, right? Similarly, for the sake of enjoying a good meal, killing animals is not allowed, is not accepted, right? And as we saw there, that meat is not our food, right? That is against the prakriti. in the sacrifices, certain things are allowed in a very restricted way so that you don't become over-attracted to it, right? For the sake of food, if I kill an animal, that is sinful, right? But if I kill the animal, the way it is spoken in the Vedam, it is not sinful. That is a pramanam, right? So, havanam, in the yajnam, Vedam has accepted. But for the sake of food, killing an animal, Vedam has denied. Vedam has forbidden. So this is how it is as far as killing animals is concerned. Similarly, for the sake of having children, association with the wife is allowed. But for sake of gratifying senses, unrestrictedly, association with the wife is forbidden. Sautramani, you are allowed to drink or smell the alcohol and drink a quantity which is very much controlled, right? And no other instances you are allowed to drink, right? So in this way, for meat eaters and for people who are addicted to a lot of sense gratification, sex life, and for those who are addicted to alcohol, for all of them, restrictions have been brought in a big way, right? And this is the secret of dharma. That's what he's saying here. Imam vishuddham na vidusva dharmam. Right? Those who follow these things rigidly, they will develop shreyasa. That means they will make progress in spiritual path, right? And they will be able to elevate themselves further. So, look at the next verse, what he says. Ye tvinevam vidho asanda sabdha sadabhimanina pashun drushyandi visrabdha Praetya khadadite chatan. One who does not understand Sanatana Dharma in this way, those who have uncontrolled sense gratification and no humility in them, full of pride, and engage in all sinful activities, and thinking that they will fulfill their desires and give trouble to animals in that way. After death, these very same animals whom they have killed will eat them. Visraddha. Pashun druhyandi visraddha pretya khadandite chatan. Khadandite chatan. Right? So without knowing this dharmam, thinking that they know everything, and who thinks themselves that they are learned in the shastram, right? At the same time, they have no value or respect for the devotees. They unrestrictedly kill the animals and eat them, right? Due to that, when they die and they reach Yama's kingdom, the same animals who were killed by them, they will get an opportunity to eat these people who have done this to them. In other words, the punishment that comes from that, they will have to face the music later. Right? So, so, people who are very attached to their own body and to wife and children, and forget about Krishna's presence in other living entities, as Antaryami, due to hate towards them, violently behave towards them, and being offensive to them, they will deliberately, definitely go down in their life to lower species. They will have to accept a body in the lower species because of their activities. Yeah. Dushanda paragayeshu swalpanam hari ishwaram mrdage sanubhandesmin baddhasneha patantyatha. Because they identified with their body and the bodily extensions, wife and children, and due to their excessive attachment there, they forget to honor Krishna, who is present as the Self in all living entities, and they become offensive to Krishna. Right? And then that's what he is saying there. That these people whom we have spoken now, they have this nature to offend everybody, in the sense that they won't care for anyone. And they speak to others in a rude and rough way. And because of their nature, they forget that actually they are offensive to Krishna, who is present in the heart of others. Right? And due to their offense to Krishna, Ishvara, who is present in the heart of everyone, everybody should remember, Chamasamarshi is saying, when we behave rudely, offensively to others, the end result is that we are actually offending Krishna in the heart of others. And that will only lead into our own degradation. We will fall down in that process. Right? Then he says, the ignorant people, we have talked about first, ignorant people, who doesn't know Shastra, who just live in this world in ignorance, total ignorance, right? They get, somehow or the other, if they get an opportunity from Mahalmas, through their mercy, they get released from karma, right? Self-realized souls, they themselves, through knowledge, education, and upasana, they become free from karma. There are people in between these two. They are the ones, very unfortunate situation, says Chamasamarshi. It is those people who are in between, actually in trouble. Very ignorant people, they may get to get an opportunity from Mahatma, they may get saved in that process. The jnanis who have executed spiritual life properly, studied Shastram in the right way, and understood the message properly and followed it, performed the sadhana, developed chitta-shuddhi, bhakti, and performed sadhana and jnanam, they will also get liberated. Both these two categories. But there is people who are in between, neither this nor that. It is their situation is very pathetic, says Chamasa. Right? So look at see what he is saying. Ye kaivalyamasam prapta, ye chadi dasyamodhalam, thayvargiga achaniga almanam khadayantite. Those who have not realized the self or jnanam, or those who are totally modhas, no idea about spiritual life, no spiritual culture, nothing, right? Them, they are both okay because they will one day get there. But these in between group, right, who are addicted to sense gratification and at the same time so much of rajogunam and tamogunam in them, they are the people who degrade themselves in a big way, right? People who don't know anything, completely modha, maha modha they calls, right? They somehow or the other, if they get an opportunity for association with the realized soul, they may get elevated. Similarly, those who have understood the tattvam, atma tattvam, they also, in due course of time, will get released, right? Because both of them have nothing to achieve in this life, right? The ignorant ones who have no knowledge of spiritual life, of the soul, of anything like that, Mahamudhas, they are Mahatmas, very mercifully elevate them because of their kindness, compassion, right? These people who are in between is the most unfortunate one. They have not realized that tattvajnanam has not happened, but at the same time, they are not modha. They have not reached the tattvajnanam stage, at the same time they are not modha. So, and apart from that, in artham and kamam, they have excessive attachment to that, sense gratification, right? So, because of this asakti for arthakamam, artham and kamam, even for a moment they have any shandi in their life, right? Or you can say that they are also in another illusion to think that due to their excessive attachment to wealth and sense gratification, thinking that it will all stay here permanently with them, that brahmam, that illusion, due to that, they push themselves to the lower state. So it is those people Chamasa Maharshi is talking about, who are likely to degrade themselves by their fault, by their fault. People who don't know anything, they may sometimes escape with the mercy from some great personality. Jnanis who have acquired knowledge in the proper way through upasana and the jnanam, they will also get released one day. But this one lot in between two, completely absorbed in the sense gratification, and they fall into this state, right, that they cannot experience any shanti inside, any time, because of this desire for sense enjoyment. So, they are the people who destroy themselves. So, you can see how Vedam considers sense gratification as the greatest problem in spiritual advancement, right? So these people, those people, they have not acquired the knowledge, tattvajnanam hasn't happened, but they are not mudhas also, like the other people are. They have come out of that. They are not mudhas, like the totally ignorant ones, who doesn't know anything. They are not in that state, right? But they don't have tattvajnanam either, right? The reason why it is said like that is that these people, their problem is they are focusing on two things, artham and kama, money and sense gratification. It is those who are stuck in that path are the one in trouble. Totally ignorant ones, no problem. They will, one day they will come out from that. They will get, if they get the mercy from a great personality, they may escape. The realized soul, of people who are come to higher level, chitta shuddhi has happened, bhakti has developed, jnanam has come to them, they are doing sadhana, they will also escape one day. But this lot, in between, who are not totally ignorant, and who are not realized, who have no knowledge of the spiritual life either, but totally absorbed in the self, in the body, and in the sense gratification, they are the ones who are the most unfortunate ones, says Chamasa Maharshi, right? One reason is that their mind is always disturbed because of this desire for sense gratification, right? You can see that Hiranyakashipu, for example, he had got everything what he wanted, control of all the three planetary systems, right? And this artham kamam, economic development and sense gratification, he has reached the peak of that, right? And there is no sense gratification what was not available for him. In spite of all that, and he got absorbed in that to such an extent, and this was burning inside, that desire for sense gratification, he never had any peace inside. And in this way, he spent his life. So, whenever wealth came, it ended up in sense gratification, right? And due to excessive work, excessive effort for acquiring wealth, right? And whatever sense gratification was available, he was not happy. Still, it was very, he was very disturbed in the mind, right? So, the nature of sense gratification is this, that when you engage in sense gratification, right, that fire will start burning inside, demanding more sense gratification. That's the nature of all sense gratification, right? And in order to enjoy senses, you require more wealth. And in order to acquire their wealth, you acquire the wealth and then engage in more sense gratification. This is that cycle, right? So, more sense gratification means more desire will build up inside. In this way, desire for wealth and desire for sense gratification will come one after the other in a person. And because of that, he will never have any shanti inside. He will never have any shanti inside. That's what he's saying here. So, because he has not experienced any shanti inside, due to his disturbed mind, and due to this intense desire for sense enjoyment and wealth, that will only lead him further into the lower species of life. So that it is him who has to be more careful than others. This one group has to be more careful. So, Eta, that is Chamasa Maharshi saying this, Eta, Atma, Hano, Ashanda, Ajnane, Jnanamanina, Siddhant, Agrda Krityavai, Kaladvastha Mano, Rathaha. These people, Ashandis, they are called Ashandas, no Shandi inside, due to desire for wealth and desire for sense gratification. Artham, Kamam. So, those who are focused on Artha Kamam, they are the ones who are likely to degrade themselves more than others. Yeah. So they are the killers of the soul. Atmaghata means killers of the soul, right? And they, thinking that fruitive activities is the whole goal of life, and they build all castles in their mind, and Asuriya Namade Loga Andhena Tamasa Vrda, verses from Ishopanishad, the same thing. Asuriya Namade Loga Andhena Tamasa Vrda. they go fall down further into the lower species, right? So they're disturbed people. These people are very disturbed inside because of the bhoga sukham. Sense gratification has created this, right? And they consider the body and the wealth as more important than anything else, right? And they are the people who considers ignorance as knowledge. Ignorance as knowledge, right? Because ajnanam karmam, they are saying that karmam for bhoga sukham, for sense gratification, for that purpose karmakandam should be followed, and that is what Vedam is instructing us. And this is their misunderstanding, ajnanam, in them. So they are the people who see knowledge in ignorance, who see knowledge in ignorance, right? So whenever a karmam is spoken in the Vedam, the Bharashudhi is spoken in the Vedam, and the benefit you will have from that, material happiness, what you will get from that, is also spoken in the Vedam, right? So those happiness, what you get from that, that is the ultimate goal of that particular yajnam in the Karmakandam. Thinking like that, they engage for in such karmam, yajnam, for the sake of sense gratification. And they live in this world thinking that they are fulfilling the goal of life, because what Vedam has spoken in the Karmakandam, they have misunderstood it, completely misunderstood, right? And they are the people who consider ajnanam as jnanam, ignorance as knowledge. So Vedam talks about self-realization as the goal, but and bhoga nivritti, becoming free from sense gratification, is the goal, right? Not bhoga sukham. And but they have misunderstood everything, right? Vedam is nivritti margam, how to come out of this cycle of birth and death. That is the ultimate purpose of the Vedam, right? And through sadhana, self-realization, and through liberation and shanti. So, but unfortunately, these people do not have the capacity to understand that, and they have misunderstood everything, right? And they engage in karmam, and they misunderstand ajnanam as jnanam, and they are living in this world against the principles of Vedam, thinking that they have understood the Vedam. Right? So that is what he is saying. You see that, what he is saying here? See dandi agradakrityavai kaladvastha manoyathaha. Samasa Maharshi is saying that. Yeah? That means that ajnanam, they are thinking that it is jnanam. And kamya karma, fruitive activities, is the best to do. And bhalashudhi, what is spoken, the results that we should have. And engaging in this vaidya karmam throughout life is the goal of life, but he becomes the cause of his own destruction at the end. So these ashanda chittaha, right? Ashanda atmahano ashanda ajnani. Ashanda chittas, destroyed by time and building castles in the air, they suffer heavily in this world, because this misunderstanding of ajnanam as jnanam, and thinking that fruitive activities is what Vedam is talking about, and they, in due course of time, they are killing themselves, they are degrading themselves, right? And they are likely to face a very hard time, to lot of distress in life, and because of their misunderstanding of the Vedam. Because of misunderstanding of the Vedam. That's where things have gone wrong for them. They misunderstood everything. So, you become the cause of your own destruction. In their case, they become the cause of their own destruction, right? And they suffer because of that. Hitva atyayasa rachita grihabhatya suhar shriyaha tamo vishandhyani chando vasudeva parangmukhaha. Ishopanishad says, Asurya namade lokam andhena tamasa vrata. Right? Ishopanishad's language is a little different. The way it is spoken was, due to the darkness of ignorance, right? Such a deep ignorance in them, such a deeper darkness, right? These people, who kill themselves, hitva atyayasa rachita grihabhatya suhrut shriyaha tamo vishandi anichando vasudeva paramukhaha. In other words, because they have misunderstood things so badly, thinking that fruitive activities is the goal of life, one, and all they are attached to the results of their karma, and the sense gratification they receive from their activities, all these things have misguided them. And therefore, Ishopanishad says there that they fall down into deeper ignorance because of this misunderstanding. They fall into deeper ignorance, right? And here, Chamasamarshi uses the word Vasudeva Parangmukha. Yeah? Vasudeva Parangmukha. They are called Vasudeva Parangmukha. Vasudeva Parangmukha means that they turn their face from Krishna. They turn their face away from Krishna, right? In other words, very deep ocean of cycle of birth and death, they fall, even though they don't like it. And these Vasudeva Parangmukha, people who have turned their face away from Vasudeva, from Krishna. Parangmukha means who turned their face away. For them, their body, their children, wife, wealth, in all these things, one day they will be forcefully taken out from them and they fall into this cycle of birth and death. Jananam Marana Pravaham, Samsaram, they fall into that. Yeah? So basically what he said was that Chamasamarshi said, concluded that with that. He said that bhakti is essential. Without bhakti, even following Vedam won't help. Bhakti is the essential ingredient. When he said that, the king wanted to know, Nimi wanted to know, how is bhakti executed? How should bhakti should be executed, right? And he said to him that, Rajavacha Nimi, saying, Kasmin kale sa bhagavan kim varna ki drisho nribhi namna vo kena vidhina pujyade tadihochyadam. That how is, if bhakti is so essential, then how he is to be worshipped at different times, in different varnam, different forms, what should be worshipped, what should be the name of that form, how he should be worshipped? This question was raised by King Nimi, and the answer to that was Karabhajana Maharshi answered that, right? So the king asked this question, the Upasana process in different yugam, Krita Yugam, Treta Yugam, Dwapara Yugam, Kali Yugam, what are they? And in how does the absolute truth comes in front of us, in what color he comes? And what all his opulences are when he comes? What will be his name and how he should be served? In which time, in which color, and which form, which name, and what process, people should execute their upasana in different times, right? So this upasana vaichitram means upasana process or sadhana process is different at different times. Kritayugam people had one process, Tredayugam different, Dwavaram different, Kali is different. Because people are different in all these times, our nature is different. So he asked that because time is different due to different yugam, is there no variety in upasana also? Upasana vaijitrim it's called. Upasana vaijitrim means the variegatedness in the upasana process. How you vary your different upasana processes for different times, depending on the time when you come to this world, right? So that's what he's saying there. Kritam treda karavajana uvacha, kritam treda dvavaram cha, kaliditeshu keshava, nana varnabhidagaro, nane eva vidhine jyade. Kritam treda dvavaram kali, these four yugam, in all four of them, he, Krishna, or the absolute Brahman, Satchidananda Brahman, comes in different colors, he comes, right? And in different forms he comes. Nana varnam and different names he comes, and he is worshipped in different ways also. He comes under different names, in different forms, and is worshipped in different means, different ways, right? So that question he is saying here. That four varnam, Krishkrite Shukla Chadurbahur, Jadilo Valkal Ambara, Krishna Jinoba Vidakshan, Vibradanda Kamandalu. In Kritayugam, he comes, color complexion is white, right? Four handed form. He is Jada, matted hair, Maravari. He wears the dress of the bark of a tree. Krishna Jinam, they wear there. Then the sacred thread, Jabamala, Dandam, Yoga Dandam, Kamandali, water pot, and he will be worshipped like a brahmachari for Kritayugam, right? And his color is white. Four-handed form. And he will be more like a rishi, tapasvi, performing penances in the forest, right? He will have matted hair and dandam, kamandalu, krishnajinam, in the, like a brahmachari performing penances in the forest. That is how he will appear. He has a four-handed form and in two hands, one he has got a dandam and a kamandalu in the other hand, right? He will be worshipped in that way. Manushyastu tada shanda, nirvaira sukrada samaha, yajandi tapasadevam, shamenaja dhamenaja. The beauty of Kritayugam is, people are shandi, extremely peaceful inside, right? They have no enmity towards each other in Kritayugam, right? And they are friendship to everybody. And they have equal vision. And they will execute their spiritual life in meditation, dhyanam, and control of mind and senses, shamam and damam. And that will be the process in Kritayugam, he says here. Right? So in Kritayugam, people are very peaceful, in total shanti state. Ragadvesham, Kamakrotham, Madamalsaram, all what we have now won't be there in them, right? No enmity towards each other, and they will be friendly to all, and equal vision towards everyone, and able to honor everybody else, recognizing Krishna's presence in them. In other words, consciousness-wise, they are on a much higher level, higher platform, right? And because they have control of mind and senses, they can perform tapas in the forest and do it for a very long period of time. And therefore in Krita Yugam, dhyanam or meditation is a dharma, yuga dharmam for Krita Yugam, Satya Yugam. Krita Yugam, meditation is the process. Next, Hamsa Suvarno Vaikundho Dharmo Yogeshwaro Amala Ishwara Purusho Avyaktam Paramatmedi Giyate. In that Krita Yugam, he will have so many names, and those names are mentioned there. Hamsam, Suvarnam, Vaikuntham, Dharmam, Yogeshwara, Amala, Ishwara, Purusha, Avyaktam, Paramatma. These are all his names in the Krita Yugam. In Krita Yugam. Right? So, so, Hamsam means that one who has gone beyond the three modes of nature. So pure, beyond the three modes of nature. Suvarnam means he has no connection anywhere, no sangam anywhere. And he is not sticking to anything. He doesn't get attached to the body, attached to the world so much. He has no attachment anywhere. And then Vaikuntham, because he has realizations inside and it is not affected by any of his upadhi, like mind, intelligence and senses. A person who is in that state, he is Vaikuntham, right? In other words, with any of these upadhis, right, he is always have his opulences in life. Without working for that, he has, right? And even though he has mind, intelligence, sense, subtle body and everything, gross body, his opulences are not reduced. He is able to live in that way, right? Then his opulences never gets decreased. It stays like that with him. Dharma means he knows Sanatana Dharmam. That means he is an embodiment of Sanatana Dharmam at that time. And you will see this in the 12th canto, 12th chapter begins like that. Namo Dharmaya Mahade, Nama Krishnaya Vedase. He says, Namo Dharmaya Mahade, Nama Krishnaya Vedase. So in other words, Bhagavata Dharmam, Surupam is Krishna. Krishna is not different from Bhagavata Dharma. That is the message there. Namo Dharmaya Mahade, Nama Krishnaya Vedase. Brahmanebhyo Namaskritya Dharman Vakshe Sanatanan, it says. So, Sanatana Dharma is Bhagavata Dharma. Namo Dharmaya Mahade, Nama Krishnaya Vedase. Brahmanebhyo Namaskritya Dharman Vakshe Sanatanan. That is how the 12th canto, 12th chapter begins with that verse. Yeah. So by saying that, what he is saying here is that this Namo Dharmaya Mahade Nama Krishnaya Vedase, they are able to see Krishna as Bhagavata Dharmam. And he is Yogeshwara, that means all yogis, whether it is Jnani or Karma Yogi or Bhakti Yogi or Ashtanga Yogi, whoever it may be, they get the results by Krishna's mercy. Only then they get it, right? So they are all dependent on him, and he is Amala, pure, and controller, Ishvara, Purusha, present everywhere, and that absolute truth. That means he cannot be understood or cannot be brought into any upadhi. That adhyatma tattvam avyakta paramatmedi giyate. In other words, people in that age of Krita Yugam, their relationship with Krishna is on a different level than now. What will happen to them is that they will see Krishna as one who is present in everyone's heart, as Antaryami, Paramatma inside, right? And one, they will only, their relationship with Krishna is like that. One who is present in everyone's heart as the super soul, Antaryami, and who is responsible in the sense that by whose presence that particular body is working. Through its senses are working, subtle body is working, gross body is working, everything is working by his presence. And that concept is strong in Krita Yuga, Satya Yuga, right? So, that Paramatma concept, in other words, right? So, those mantram related to Paramatma in that way, they are the mantrams that they will use in Satya Yuga, in Krita Yuga, right? That's what they will chant, right? So, avyaktam paramatmeti giyate adhyatma tattvam. So, those mantram that they will recite in Krita Yuga or Satya Yuga will be focused on Antaryami inside, who by whose presence, who controls all the senses, both senses of knowledge and senses of action, and who controls the subtle body, and the one who controls all these things together as Antaryami, that is the concept in Krita Yuga with the people, young class of people, right? Then, Tretayam Rektavarno, so Chadurbahustri Meghala, Hiranyagesham Straya Alma, Sukhsruvad Upalakshanaham. When it comes to Tretayam, color has changed, it is reddish now. White in the Kridegam, in Tretayam it is reddish, right? Four-handed form. And Tretayam Rattvarno, Chadurbahu, Three Meghala is that Meghala is a thing they wear along their waist with the three things that they are made of. Brahmacharis have Meghala. If you read in the 8th canto, Vamanamurti wears Meghala. It used to be there before. Now that's all gone. Nobody is following all these things anymore because due to various reasons, people find it difficult to stay with the original things to follow. Brahmachari is dressed today, we have a different understanding of Brahmachari, isn't it? We think one who is wearing saffron, dhoti and saffron and a shikha, this is our perception of Brahmachari. But Brahmachari in Bhagavatam and the Puranam is different. That Brahmachari's dress you won't be able to wear and walk in the street. It will be, you will be looked upon as a something different, very different. So, the thing is that ideal Brahmachari's clothes is, if you want to understand, you look at Vamanamurti. He is the perfect Brahmacharis. And all these things are mentioned in his case. Meghala, Krishnajinam, what he has to wear, Dandam, and then the water pot, all those things, right? So, and then here he is saying, in the case of Tretayam, four-handed form, three meghala, then his hair is golden color, and he represents Vedam, and Srukha Sruvam, two instruments in the sense that used for cooking, Srukha Sruvam, or in the sacrifice they used them, Srukha and Sruvam. He will have them, right? And in other words, if you look at his form, more or less, he will represent someone who is performing sacrifice, yajnam. That is how he will look like. That is why this Srukha, Sravam, and Meghala, and the four-handed form, and reddish color. This is all his features at that time, right? So, so with all these things, that is be his form in the in Tredayugam, yeah, four-handed form, and along the waist, Meghala, it will have three things. I mean, not one, instead of one, there will be three. Okay? And reddish color, or you can say, right? So, Yajnam, he represents Yajnam. And in his hands, he has got Sruk and Sruvam, which are used for Yajnam. And that's how he is worshipped. Tam tada manuja devam sarvam devamayam harim yajanti vidyayatraya dharmishta brahmavadina. At that time, people who are, they are educated in Vedam at that time, they have knowledge of the Vedam, right? They will worship him based on what is spoken in the Rig Vedam, Yajur Vedam and Sama Vedam, three Vedam, right? Vidya Traya, and the Yajnam that is spoken in the Vedam, he is in the Yajnam personified form. Who? Krishna's form at that time is Yajnam personified. And he will be worshipped through Yajnam in Tridayugam. And by all kinds of Yajnam spoken in the three Vedam. Rig Vedam, Yajur Vedam and Sama Vedam. Right? So that's what he is saying there. Then, Vishnur Yajna Prasnigarbha Sarva Deva Urukramaha Vrishakabil Jayandascha Urugaya Midhiryate. At that time, he will have several names. What are they? Yajna Prasnigarbha Sarva Deva Urukrama Vrishakabi Jayanda Urugaya. These are all his names in that Tredayugam. That is how he will be addressed, right? Vishnu means one who is present everywhere. Yajna means one who gives, Yajna means one who gives the results of the sacrifices, right? And Prishnigarbha means it is a avatara sarupam. Where Vasudeva and Devaki were Prishni and Prishnigarbham in the previous life, right? Sarva Deva, one who is being worshipped by everybody, all Devadas, right? Urukrama means one who has long legs, who kick and long steps they can make, right? Vrishagabhi means one who gives all the results. And Jayanda means one who wins everywhere. Urugayan means in different ways, how the various hymns in the Vedam glorifies him. So these names have its own meanings, all the names, what is spoken there. Then, Dwabare, now come to Dwabareyugam. So we have seen Kridayugam and Tredayugam. Now what happens in Dwabareyugam? That's the next verse. Dwabare Bhagavan Shyama Pidavasa Nijayutha Srivil Sadibirai Angaisha Lakshanai Upalakshidaha. That in Dwabaram, color is black. And also, he wears Pidambaram, yellow garment, and he wears all these weapons, Sudarshanam, Srivalsam, Kaustubham, with all that, right? And Dwabaram people will worship him in that way. Black color and yellow garment he will wear, four-handed form, conchal disc, club and lotus flower. Then he has in the chest Srivatsam and in the neck Kaustubham. And in this way, people will, that will be the form they'll worship in Dwabareyugam. Then, तम तदा पुरुषम मर्त्य महाराजोपलक्षणम यजन्ति वेद तंत्राभ्याम परम जिज्ञासवो नृपा. At that point, at that time, people, in order to, for self-realization, they will worship him like a king, with all the opulences of a king. Yeah. And they will worship him through Vedam and Tantram. So you can see when Tantram came in, it is in Dwapara Yugam, Tantram arrived on the scene. Tantriya Karma began in Dwapara Yugam. Prior to that, there was only Vaidikam. But in Krita Yugam and Treta Yugam, there was only Vaidikam. Deity worship, temples, and Tantram, they all came in Dwapara Yugam into this world. That's what he is saying here. Tam tada purusham martya maharajobalakshanam yajandi vedatandra abhyam param jityasavo nirvam. So, vedatandram, vaidika tantriya vidhi, they worship him by the devotees, right? But it will be very opulent worship. Yeah. And they will be mixed. Which one? Vaidika mantram and tantriya mantram. They will be mixed together. Right? But upasana vidhi is mostly tantriyam. We have moved away from vaidikam now. Vaidikam means everything is in the fire. Agni. Agni upasana is vaidikam. Vigraha upasana, deity in the temple, is tantriyam. So, but you use some Vaidika mantram, lot of Tantriya mantram, and all the worshipable process is all tantram. All tantriyam it is. Right? So, that is how puja started. Puja comes from that. Deity worship, what we call now, is a product of this tantra puja, tantriya vidhi. Right? So, namaste vasudevaya, namasangarshanaya cha, pradyumnaya aniruddhaya, tubhyam bhagavate nama. Vasudeva sangarshana pradyumna aniruddha. In this way, that four-handed form, one who is present in this world, in these four forms, I offer my obeisances to him, he says. So, one who is present in the chittam, he is Vasudeva. One who is present in the ahankaram is Sangarshanamurti. One who is present in the mind is Aniruddha. And one who is present in the chittam is Vasudeva. Vasudeva, Sangarshana, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. Mind, intelligence, ego and chittam. Right? Then, Narayanaya Krishaye, Purushaya Mahatmane, Visheshuraya Vishwaya, Sarvabhodatmane Nama. One who is present, Narayana Rishi. He is Narayana Rishi. I offer my obeisances to him. And he says here, Narayana Rishi, Purushottama, Sarveshwara, Sarvatma, and he not touched by time and circumstance, place, and who is the cause of all causes. And similarly, one who is the soul of everyone, I offer my obeisances to him. Iti dvabaram uruvisha stuvandi jagadishwaram nana tantra vidhanena kalavabhi yatha shruno. In this way, Dwapara Yugam, he is glorified. And now, in Kali Yugam, where we are now, in Kali Yugam, how through tantram, tantra margam, nana tantra vidhanena kalau abhi yathashranu, how through tantram in Kali Yugam, how Krishna is worshipped. Nana tantra vidhanena means in Kali Yugam, tantra margam has more prominence than Vaidika margam. The worshipping process, upasana process is concerned. Tantra margam is a method for Kali Yugam. Tantra margam is a method for. So that is why you can see Tantriya Vidhi, all Vaishnavacharyas followed, Shaivacharya also followed. Both, all of them have their own tantram. Pashupadam for Shiva. Pashupadam. Similarly, Vaikhanasam and what Sri Narada Maharshi gave us, Panjaratram. They are all the Tandriya Vidhi. Panjaratram, Vaikhanasam is the Tandriya process of worship of Vishnu and Vishnu's incarnations. Similarly, Pashupadam is the Tandriya Vidhi for worship of Lord Shiva. So, that's what he is saying here, right? In this way, it was spoken. Then, after that, he is talking about Kali Yuga. Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Sango Bangastra Parshadam Yajne Sangirtana Prayer Yajandihi Sumedhasa. In Kaligalam, or time when we are now here, in this age, his color is Krishna, dark, and due to his is present like a jewel, and he is worshipped with all his associates, Parshadas, Sunanda, Nanda, and all others, and all the astram, all the weapons, Sudarshanam, and all others, right? And Upangam, all his decorations like Kaustubham, Srivalsam, and all that, right? And in this way he is served. In other words, Sangirtanam is the Yajne Sangirtana Prayer Yajandihi Sumedhasa, or through Sangirtanam process is important in Kaligalam, in Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga importance is Sangirtanam, chanting the holy name. So, or in other words, when you read that, you can see that in Kali Yuga, Krishna has been given the prominence. Krishna's form is given the importance, right? Krishnavadaram, Krishna Varnam Tusha Akrishnam Sango Bangasra Varshadam Yajne Sangirtana Prayer Yajandihi Sumayathasa. Sridharajarya Swamiji says it is referring to Krishna. This verse refers to Krishna. Sridhara Swami's opinion is that. So, we'll have a break and we'll continue after a few minutes.
Chedodarpanam arjanam bhavamahadavagni nirvapanam shrayakaidava chandriya vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam anandambudhi vardhanam pradipada purnamrada swadhanam sarvapna subanambaram vijayade shri krishna sangirtanam namnamagari bahudanija sarva shakti tatrarpida nemida smaranena kala edadushidava grava bhagavan mamavi Gurudeva Medashamiha Janina Nuragaham Trinaja Vishuni Jaina Tarorabi Sahishuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Nathanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavidamba Jagadishakamai Mamajanmani Janmani Shuri Bhavadad Bhaktirahai Dugitvai Ainanda Danuja Gingaram Padidamam Shame Bhavambudau Kripayado Bhada Pangajastida Duli Sadrasham Vichindaya Nayanam Galadashudharaya, Padanam Gadgadirudhaya Gira, Pulagar Nijadam Gadavabo, Tavamama Grahane Bhavishari, Yuva Idam Nimeshena, Chachusha Pravisha Idam, Shunya Idam Jagal Sarvam, Govinda Verehename, Ashlishava Padre Dam Pinashtumam, Adarshanam Marmahadam Karotuva, Yetatadava Vitadhadulamado, Malprana Nathasana Evana Pera, Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sankirtanam Govinda Govinda.
Idi Dwabara Bhuvish Urvisha Suvandi Jagadishwara Jagadishwaram Nana Tandra Vidhanina Kalavabhyathashranu. So, Nana Tandra Vidhanina Kalavabhyathashranu. He says that Kali Yuga, the process will be Tandram, Tandriya Vidhi, right? Kali Yuga, it comes from this verse that Nana Tandra Vidhanena, by saying that importance or stress is on Tandram, Tandra Vidhanena, right? Then, Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Sango Bangastra Parshadam Yajne Sangirtana Prayer Yajandihi Sumedhasam. Black color, but not ordinary black, shining black. Along with the black color, it is like Indraneelam, an expensive jewel. Its color, like its color, this color form of Krishna, right? So, Sarvanga Sundaram, so beautiful, it's Krishna's color, Krishna Swarupam, right? In other words, Krishnavadaram is important in Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is mainly, Krishnavadaram is important, right? And Krishna will be worshipped in Kali Yuga, seriously, right? And even though color is black, but the beauty of that color is beyond our imagination. Yeah? And that Swarupam, Sarvanga Sundaram, Saundarya Saram, people worship that form, not like the color of the crow, black color. It's a color of Indraneela Varnam, say here, right? Along with Kausubham and Ubangam, they are called different limbs in the body, right? And then all the weapons, Sudarshanam, all weapons, then all the Parshadas, Sunanda, Nanda, Parshadas, and Sankirtanam process is the worshipping process. In other words, chanting the holy name has a lot importance in Kali Yuga, chanting the holy name. That's the most authorized process in the age of Kali, right? Sankirtanam means, it can be Nama Sankirtanam, chanting the holy name. Katha Sankirtanam, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna Leela, right? And similarly, so with all these combined together, Kali Yuga process will be to worship Krishna in that way. Dhyayam sada paribhavagnam abhishtadoham tirthaspadam shiva virinjanudam sharanyam vrityartiham pranada balabhavabdhipotam vande mahapurushade charanaravindam. Mahapurushade charanaravindam. Hey Mahapurusha, we offer our obeisances to your lotus feet. Dhyayam. Dhyayam means worthwhile for meditation. Dhyana yogyam it is called, right? Sada. Sada means that all times. Dhyayam. That means that form is worshipable or worship or meditation all the time, right? And that is being spoken in the remaining part of that verse. It says paribhavagnam. Paribhavagnam means we get problems from senses, and we also get problems from family life and things like that, right? So that problem, what you experience from that, paribhavam. That means paribhavam means indifference from family, indifference from the body, all due to they don't align with you in your life, become unfavorable everything. Body becomes unfavorable, family also becomes unfavorable. In that situation, for example, mind and senses. Mind is not favorable, you have a problem then. Senses are not favorable, right? So, which means that due to their powerful effect of mind and senses, we are forced to act in their way, what they dictate to us. Mind, we have no control over mind, isn't it? Mind is saying something from inside, and this was the disadvantage in Satyayugam. Mind was very favorable for spiritual life. Now mind has turned against us. And all the thoughts that's coming in the mind is not favorable, is not helping us to go in the spiritual path, turning against us, the mind. Because mind, we have no control. Thoughts are coming inside. What can we do about it? So, same thing with the senses. senses becoming very demanding. They want more gratification. So all those things, right? You are forced to do things which you should not do because of that, right? And similarly, you are forced to speak things which you shouldn't speak, right? So this is what is called paribhavagnam. Paribhavagnam. Paribhavagnam means both mind and senses and the body not cooperating with us. Not cooperating with us, right? Similarly, thoughts coming, what we should not think about is coming in our thoughts. Yeah? And that is what is called a tiraskaram. So all these things will create a lot of trouble inside us. A lot of trouble inside us, right? So, in this age of Kali, taking Krishna shelter, Krishna will alleviate these problems of the mind and senses and also from the body, so they don't become a serious, they don't cause serious problems in our spiritual life, right? In the same way, you go through mental suffering because of all these things, due to diseases in the body, similarly demand for sense enjoyment, similarly unwanted thoughts coming in the mind. Equally, in Kali Yugam, family members will not be very helpful, cooperative, right? So they start ignoring you and don't take you seriously and make you feel very depressed because of that. Yeah. So that struggle is also paribhavagnam. So when they say, Dhyayam sada paribhavagnam abhishtadoham tirthaspadam shivavirinjanadam sharenyam vrityartiham pranadavala bhavabdhibodam vande mahapurushade charanaravindam. Sri Shukha Brahmarshi has used this word purely to represent Krishna in the age of Kali. It is talking about Krishna, this verse, right? So, Krishna is capable of relieving the distress of the mind, what we face in Kali Yugam, because he is present as Antaryami inside, and as Antaryami, Krishna controls the problems associated with the body, mind, senses, everything, and also family life, right? So, what he does is, as Antaryami inside, he gives you relief from all these things. And when he gives you relief from inside, this paribhavam, what mentioned there, paribhavagnam, that paribhavam goes away. Paribhavam goes away. So, normally devotees, due to these problems, problems with the body, problems with the senses, problems with the mind, all these things, right? And problems from the family, with all that, he will suffer a lot in his mind. Mentally, he'll go through a lot of torture. That's Kali Yugam. It's the way Kali Yugam is, right? You suffer, all these sufferings actually happens in the mind. So due to that, you go through heavy torture in the mind. Mental suffering, heavy mental suffering, right? So, and normally a devotee will complain about that, this suffering what he goes through the mind, right? At that time, Krishna has Antaryami inside, he will pacify him with proper knowledge, and he won't allow the devotee to suffer due to these problems, paribhavam, rather help him to stick to the spiritual path. Somehow or the other, he will give the relief from inside. All suffering is in the mind, is it not? When body has got problems, suffering is in the mind. Similarly, problems from the world outside, suffering is in the mind. So, if it doesn't affect your mind, these problems doesn't matter. They can happen whatever happens in this world, as long as it doesn't affect your mind. So, Krishna is Antaryami, gives relief from the suffering by controlling our mind, not to get affected by that. That's what he is saying here. So, if Krishna Antaryami inside, gives the support from inside, all these distress coming from paribhavam, body, senses, and from the mind, that will naturally disappear. And you can see that from experience itself. If Krishna's support is there, material life cannot disturb you so much. Sometimes, when Krishna gives you that relief, right, you may be able to hear that even, that relief coming from Antaryami, right? Sometimes some devotees had the good fortune of Krishna packing them and giving them the relief. That is how he destroys that paribhavam. That means this non-cooperation from the mind, senses, family and the body. All these things is paribhavam. Body is not helping. Body is giving so many trouble. Different things. And you try to fix one, another one comes out. Another fix, another one comes out. Like this. Constantly getting absorbed in the body and not allowing us to take to spiritual path. Right? That's one. The mind also, because of the various thoughts that comes in the form of desires, ragadvesham, hate and attachment, all this is in the mind. And then mind becomes very disturbed. Shanti goes away. And at that time, only Antaryami can help. Who else can help? We are helpless because the mind is doing all these things. That's one. Then disturbances in the family life. This is all peculiar to Kali Yuga. Not for other three yugams. This is all specific to Kali Yuga. This situation in life. Family life is not happy. Health is not good. And similarly, the desires have gone up. Ragadvesham is very high. Senses are giving trouble. Too much opportunities for sense gratification, and they are demanding this gratification. All these kind of problems is exclusive to Kali Yuga, not for other yugams. So that's what called paribhavam. And that can only be solved when Krishna has Antaryami inside, gives that relief from within. There is no other way. Gives the relief from within. That's what he is saying here. Abhishta doham, he says. In other words, both bhukti and mukti, he says, deyam sada paribhavagnam abhishta doham. Then, tirthaspadam. Tirthaspadam means that all tirtham comes from him. Purification, the source of all purification is him. And Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, all of them offer respects to him. Shiva Virinjadanam Sharanyam, they have also taken his shelter. And that Upasana, their names are mentioned here, and they get a lot of pressure in serving Krishna. There is nothing they want to achieve in his life. Then why do they take his shelter? Sharanyam, because they feel that Krishna's lotus feet is worth taking shelter. It's worth taking shelter, right? Because by taking shelter in Krishna's lotus feet, they get the blissful experience themselves, right? So they don't want anything, just that bliss they get from that. And so it is for that purpose they offer obeisances to Krishna and they glorify Krishna. That's what is mentioned here. Pranada bala bhavabdi bodham, right? Means that great personalities offer obeisances and glorifies those lotus feet of Krishna. And then how is it available for ordinary people? Vrityartiham. Vrityartiham means those who take surrender to him. Surrender. Sharanagari, right? Or those who follow the dasyam. Dasyam is sharanagari basically. Dasya bhavam. Those who are in the dasya bhavam, he fulfills their desires and relieves their distress. Dasya bhavam is important, but any other bhavam is good, right? whoever it may be, even though he is very ignorant, right, he will relieve their distresses, even though he is ignorant. This is speciality with this Kali Yugam and Krishna. In Kali Yugam, Krishna will deal with the devotees with a lot of compassion because of their suffering, like this, right? Not only the distress that is coming to him from outside, right? Those who have surrendered to him, Sharanagati, that is why Krishna presented Bhagavata Dharma to this world, to these principles, Sharanagati. And, yeah. So, what we see in the Padma Purana also, Samsara Sagari Magnam, Dinam Maham Karunanidhe. So, Karma Graha Grihidangam, Mahamudra Bhavarnava. So, for those who wants to cross over this Samsara Sagaram, ocean of this material existence, the boat for that is Krishna. Means that provided you have surrendered, and it can take away millions and millions of births what we will be going through otherwise. Not only the distress that comes from outside, but the distress that comes from this cycle of birth and death as well. Distress from outside is there, Tapatrayam, Adhyatmiyam, Adhibhautiyam, Adhideviyam, that is already there. So Kali Yugam is more or less about distress. Everything, everybody is in distress, and this distress won't go away easily except to Krishna shelter. That's the only solution to the problem. Yeah. So therefore, that is why bhakti is spoken so strongly. Chamasa Maharshi spoke about that, right? And he is capable of relieving our distress on our day-to-day life, coming as Adhyalpiyam, Adhibhautiyam, Adhidevigam. Plus, he is also capable of relieving us from the distress of the cycle of birth and death. We offer our obeisances to him. Dhyayam sada paribhavagnam abhishtadoham tirthaspadam shiva virinjanudam sharanyam vrityartiham pranadabalabhavabdhibodham vande mahapurushade charanaravindam. So, why is it this form is the one for meditation, right? Sada paribhavagnam, freeing us from all distress, right? And the mental torture is a very heavy one when it comes to the mind. It's more worse than the body, is it not? So, if a devotee complains to Krishna, who is present inside a Santariyami, about his suffering in life, right? Krishna will make him aware of his presence inside, and in that way he will give him relief from the sufferings of this world, right? And that is how he make the devotees happy, right? Sometimes a devotee has a relationship with Krishna in this way. In some instances, Krishna may speak to him directly or indirectly through someone, right? And in some instances, you may even receive Krishna's direct intervention in some form. It can come, right? For example, the suffering that comes from mental torture and also from the family, that can be very heavy sometimes. Indifference with the family members, and they're turning against you, and it causes a lot of mental suffering to people, right? And there, Abhishta Doham is saying here that Krishna makes sure that such things does not disturb his mind. And the Antaryami inside is capable of doing that, and he makes you aware of that, that those distress are not very serious ones. And this all control is inside. Antaryami controls everyone's life, right? So,
Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and all, they all take his shelter because Tirtham, like Ganga river and everything, comes from his lotus feet, right? And therefore it is worthwhile surrendering to him and Sharanam Sharanyam, it says here. Is it not? Sharanam Sharanyam. Shiva Virinjanudam Sharanyam. Tirthaspadam Shiva Virinjanudam Sharanyam. Vrityartiham Pranada Bala Bhavabdi Bodham. Vande Mahapurushade Sharanaravindam. So great personalities like Brahma, Shiva, they all take a shelter. And how can they be available for ordinary people if Brahma and Shiva are taking shelter? That's when he says here, Vrityartiham, Vrityartiham, right? If you have bhakti, then he says there, with bhakti, if you surrender to Krishna, as we discussed before, that is Bhagavata Dharma, Sharanagati, surrendering to Krishna, and if you execute the sadhana process, Krishna is capable of not allowing you to suffer or go through the distress, right? No matter how fallen he is, I mean, there is not much spiritual culture, or he does not have much sadhana to show. In every way, he is very much fallen state. And but if he is genuine and sincere in his relationship with Krishna, which means that he surrenders to him, which is Sharanagati. If there is Sharanagati, bhakti means Sharanagati. That's all it is. Surrendering to Krishna. And we may have a lot of doubts about this. How can that happen? How does Sharanagati comes in life, right? Sharanagati means Krishna is inside Antaryami. He is controlling everything. I have nothing to do with it. Krishna is running the show. Acceptance that. And that is where most of the problem comes. People think that they are doing everything. They are running the show. They are running this world. To become free from that is not an easy thing, because we are conditioned by the way we are, right? So, bhakti means this surrender inside to Antaryami. And whatever you have to say of your problems, speak to the Antaryami. Krishna is inside, who is listening to that, right? And that distress will go. That's what Bhagavatam is saying. Yeah? So, apart from that, is also capable of giving us the self-realization and making us free from the cycle of birth and death, right? So, crying to Krishna and asking Krishna for help when the distress is unbearable, and that is what is expected from a devotee. And devotee should not feel shy about it, crying in front of Krishna, because when we all came to this world, we came crying. We didn't come laughing here, did we? We had nobody here. We came, every one of us, whether it is American president or an ordinary man in the street, they've all come crying to this world. Nobody came laughing here. So at that time we cried and the help came. Is it not? The help came automatically. How did the help come? In the form of parents. And baby crying made the mother to give the milk. Milk came in mother's breasts. How did the milk come? Till now there is no answer in the science for that. These are questions unanswered still. When the baby is born, when there was no milk in the breast, how did the milk started coming from the breast at that point? Well, how did that happen? So there is a law behind everything working, and you are crying to that force which is organizing all these things in this world. Every jiva, when it comes to this world, that power makes arrangements for the jiva to live here for a certain period of time. In other words, whole control is in that power, who is controlling everything. And when we came here as a baby, we didn't make any of the decisions where to come to appear in this world, who the parent should be, male or female, and who should be the family members. All these things, who made the decision? At least thinking about that, we can see that we have no control on anything in all these matters. And similarly, when we cried for the milk straight away, as soon as you came out, there was mother available there to feed you with the milk, and then you survived in this world. Since then onwards, life started. So if that force which looked after us in the womb, while we were in the womb of the mother, allowed us to stay there in the 9 or 10 months in that compressed state and still survive there. And when we came out from the womb, who provided everything when we were in total ignorance? We didn't know anything about life. What did we know as a baby? Nothing. Completely dependent on others' mercy to survive here. So who made the arrangements for someone to look after you at that time in the form of father and mother and other members, whoever has given the love and assist attachment, other things, whatever that has come from family life. So all these arrangements, who has made that? That's what he is saying here. Deyam sada paribhavagnam abhishtadoham tirthaspadam shiva virinjanudam sharanyam brityatiham pranadavala bhavabdhivodam vande mahapurushate charanaravindam. So, pranadavala bhavabdhivodam. Bhavabdhivodam means cycle of birth and death. That which is most difficult to come out from this material existence, and Krishna is capable of doing that for any devotee. So, pranadavala vande, that mahapurusha, I take his shelter, he said. Yeah? Then, even though Krishna doesn't need anything, apta kama, right? And he has no desires, Krishna doesn't want anything from anyone. But this appearance as Krishna, he is full of, aptakamam, that he has no desires, right? And he doesn't want anything from anyone, but still, he is capable of providing shelter to others, and he will do anything to that extent, saying that, Sukadeva Goswami, Sri Shukha Brahmarshi is glorifying Ramachandra in the next verse. Tektva sudupsidam surepsidare ajalakshmim dharmishtam aryavajasa yadagadaranyam mayamrgam deidaipsidam anyadhaval vande mahapurushate charanaravindam. Because he is aptakama, means he has no, doesn't want anything, right? Nirabeksham, he has no desires, right? Atmarama, he is fully situated in the self. Atmarama he is, right? And for him to be happy, he doesn't need anything from anybody. So, Atmagama and Nirabeksham. And that Ramachandra, in order to please his devotee, he is willing to go to any extent, right? So, pleasing a devotee is the highest goal or highest principle in Ramchandra's appearance. Ramchandra has shown that and spoken about it. He is saying there that that's why Ramchandra is quoted in this verse, right? Even though he is self-satisfied, he doesn't need anything. He is happy within himself, right? But to pleasing devotee, he loves that. And therefore, what did he do? Tektva sudupsidam surepsidare rajyalakshmim. Rajyalakshmi means the opulent life in the palace, what he had, kingdom, and the associated opulences of royal life, what he had. He threw that away, everything, right? And Ayodhya at that time was so opulent, even the heavenly planets, Indra was envious, seeing the opulence of Ayodhya, right? And that Ayodhya, he rejected. He didn't have any attachment for that. And using this logic that because father has instructed, therefore I have to go. On that basis, he left everything, but he had no attraction for any of that opulences, right? And did he leave that thinking that all this administration and king's duty, it's all troublesome? Did he leave because of that? And but no, not because of that. But because he is attracted to performing his dharma, dharma nishtha, right? And Ramachandra's attachment to Dasharatha, attachment in the sense that he showed to the world what a relationship for a son to the father is. That's what he was trying to show through that, right? And in order to fulfill the words of Dasharatha, Ramachandra decided to go to forest, right? And he threw away the opulences, which is even difficult for the demigods to give up. Such was the opulences, right? And for that, he took Sita Devi with him. And even though he knew, to please Sita Devi, he went after Maricha, the deer, right? So, that's what he is saying here. Dharmeshtam Aryavajasa Yadagad Aranyam, right? I offer my obeisances to Ramachandra. So from these two verses, you can understand that in the Kali Yugam, Krishna and Ramachandra are the two forms to be, Sri Shuka Brahmarshi is recommending for worship, to be worshipped, right? So, the first verse is, that means verse 33 is about Krishna, and this verse 34 is about Ramachandra, right? The second verse is very clear. The first verse is not so clear, right? So, but by and large, when you read through the verse, that's how Sridhara Swami says. 33 is about Krishna, 34 is about Ramachandra. The interesting thing here is that both Krishna and Ramachandra, they are Almaramas. They don't need anything from anybody. They are totally in that platform of the soul. Self-realized state, is it not? They don't require anything from anybody. Nirapeksham, Almarama. This is all their qualifications. But when it comes to devotees, they will do what is necessary to please the devotee. That means both of them have tremendous compassion towards the devotees, right? So, that is what he is saying here, right? And that is being spoken strongly in the Krishna's case, and then in the 34th Ramachandra's case, again it is clarified, the same thing. So therefore, in Kali Yugam, these two forms, Krishna and Ramachandra, has to be worshipped, right? He accepted Dasharatha, whatever he has spoken, right? He considered father as the manifestation of God, Ishvara. And he believed that it is his duty to follow his instructions. And therefore he threw away all other opulences. So, he did not leave the kingdom because of the problem with the responsibility of the kingdom, but And he knew very well that he is the qualified person for administration, right? But Dharmam tells him that he should uphold the words spoken by Dasharatha, right? And consider father and mother as good as the guru. And he decided to follow them because of that Dharma Bodham awareness, right? Based on his father's words and the opulences, everything, what was present in Ayodhya at that time, he threw away and went to the forest. While going there, Sita Devi wanted to have that deer. And for that, to catch the deer, even though Ramachandra knew that it was Maricha who had come in that form, Krishna, Ramachandra went after that. Even though he knew that it was a trap laid to cheat Sita Devi and Sita Devi was going to be stolen, Ramachandra knew all that. But in spite of that, he went after, running after the deer, right? So, offering obeisances to Ramachandra.
Evam yugani rubabhyam bhagavan yugavartibhi manujai vijyade rajan shreyasam ishvaro hari.
So in this way, in different yugam, what is necessary for that yugam, that form, Krishna has accepted. So we saw in Satyugam, he came in the form of a brahmachari, more towards meditation, dhyanam, and that yoga process. And the form was like that, and the names were like that, and also the activities were similar. The dress was like that. When it came to Treta Yugam, it changed to Yajnam. Everything is centered around Yajnam, Yagam, everything. So, Yajnam, Yagam and all started in Treta Yugam. Like deity worship started in Dwapara Yugam, Yajnam Yagam started in Treta Yugam. Prior to that there was no Yajnam Yagam. So Krita Yugam there was no Yajnam Yagam. Treta Yugam Yajnam Yagam started. Dwapara Yugam when it came. So in Treta Yugam the form was Yajnam Murti was worshipped. Even though Ramachandra appeared in Treta Yugam, the stress is spoken mostly to be worshipped that form in the Kali Yuga. So, people take shelter in different Yugam to the different forms through the different processes, what was spoken, according to the Upasana Vidhi, Yuga Dharmam, and that way Krishna is able to relieve the distress of the devotees. So that's what Srimad Bhagavatam is saying. Now, Kali Yugam's speciality. What is this? Because we are living in Kali Yugam. We are more interested in this. What is speciality of Kali Yugam? Right? Look at the verse 36.
Kalim sabha jayandi arya gunajya sarabhagina yatra sangirtanene eva sarva swartho abhilabhyade.
One who knows the beauty of Kali Yugam or the qualities of Kali Yugam and one who knows the essence of all these things, they love Kali Yugam. There is some benefit in Kali Yugam. It's not that when we say everything is bad in Kali Yugam, Kali Yugam has also got a positive side, right? That's what he's saying here. So, for that, first you have to know and the Kali is personified form of suffering, is it not? Dushta, wickedness, everything. So then you may ask a question, how can there be any good thing in Kali Yugam? He is wicked, isn't it? These four things what we talk about, meat eating, illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, these are all the manifestation of Kali. Kali is right. So when it is like that, what qualifications are there in him, right? Sarabhagina, that's why that word is. Gunanya Sarabhagina. Sarabhagina means that In Kali Yugam, if you have a little bit of good qualities for spiritual life, little taste for spiritual life, right? And maybe it is very small, you don't know much, you don't have the knowledge much, right? But you still have some good quality in you, favorable for spiritual life. If it is there, Mahatmas in Kali Yugam, they are so compassionate that they will recognize that. And these Mahatmas who understand Kali Yugam's nature, they will show compassion to them, right? That means they glorify Kali because of this. That in Kali Yugam, even if you do something, even little bit in spiritual side, the results are much higher compared to other Yugams. Kali has that benefit. Even little bit of spiritual activity if you do in Kali Yugam, it will take you a long way compared to other Yugams, right? And therefore Kali has this benefit that they respect Kali because Mahatmas know that Kali has this one quality, right? Even though in all other areas it is going to give a lot of distress, right? There is this little thing hiding behind everything, right? And they respect Kali for that. It's only in Kali Yugam this special quality. What is that? Through Sankirtanam, not just Kirtanam, Sankirtanam means Samyak Kirtanam, that is Sankirtanam, right? With a surrender inside, Sharanagati, if we take shelter of Krishna and glorify Him, right? But it has to be very genuine and surrender. It should not become a performance. It has to be done with utter humility and also with surrender to Krishna. That kind of kirtanam can be nama sankirtanam, katha shravanam kirtanam, that way also is kirtanam, right? So all these things, it is possible, it gives you results from that quickly in Kali Yugam. And that is Kali's benefit. Simply by glorifying Krishna through holy name or through other processes like Bhagavadam, Bhagavad Gita and all that thing. This is all kirtanam only. All this kirtanam pleases Krishna in Kali Yugam. And that is the beauty of Kali Yugam. Whereas this process didn't work in the other three Yugams. This kirtanam process. In Kali Yugam, kirtanam process works. And that kirtanam can be chanting the holy name together or Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, all related to Krishna and through them glorifying Krishna. That is kirtanam in Kali Yugam, right? And this is speciality of the Kali Yugam. This didn't exist. Glorifying Krishna, Ramachandra in this way, through Ramayana, Mahabharata, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, all these things, and through them glorifying Krishna. This process didn't exist in Satya Yugam, in Treta Yugam, in Dwapara Yugam. It only exists in Kali Yugam. And that is because of this Kali's special quality in that way, right? So, so therefore, Kali Galam, or this Kali Yugam is the most favorable time for performing Upasana like this, right? Krita Yugam Dhyanam, Treta Yugam Yajnam, Dwapara Yugam Deity Worship Puja, but Kali Yugam Kirtanam. This is how it is. Yeah? So, and therefore, Kirtanam will be more effective than anything else in the age of Kali. Right? And you can see if you read through Bhagavadam, why Krishna is talking about Salsangam, about Nama Sankirtanam, Bhagavadam, all over you will find this in all the Sudhis, Upadeshams, everywhere. Right? So, able to glorify Krishna according to one's capacity, right? And they derive this benefit in Kali Yugam, right? Krishna has used, Sri Shukla Brahma Rishi has used the word, yatra sankirtane neiva, sankirtanam, he has used the word, right? But sankirtanam includes shravanam. Not only just chanting the holy name, right? Nama sankirtanam and guna sankirtanam, guna kirtanam is included. So, namam, gunam, shravanam, kirtanam is all the yuga dharmam for Kaligalam, for Kaliyugam, right? And with that, very easily one can achieve the results in Kaliyugam what you could have achieved in other yugams, like Satyayugam, Trayayugam, Dwabarayugam, right? So, here, Sridhara Swami is mentioning there that in the sixth canto we saw Sangetyam Parihasyam va Stopam Helanam eva va Vaigunda Namagrahanam Asheshad Akaharam Vidhu. In Ajamila story, that verse comes there, right? So, Sridhara Swami is saying here that the main benefit in Kali Yugam is that the destruction of our sinful reactions, right? The reason why we have come in the Kali Yugam is because of our sinful activities, right? That's why we were given a life now in this world, in the Kali, right? So, if you chant the holy name, Sangetyam, Parihasyam, Stobham, Helanam. We discussed this when we discussed six kind of what they are. Whichever way you chant the holy name, what will happen is your sinful reactions will go. Reaction of your sinful life will be destroyed. Right? But only sinful reaction will go. That's all it is. Vasana won't go. The sinful activities you have done before, the reactions of that sinful activities will be wiped out, which is in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Bhava Pranashanam. That much guarantee is there in the Bhagavatam. Pranamo Dukkha Shamana Tam Namami Harim Varam. That's how Bhagavatam's last verse is on that pretext, that all sinful reactions at least will go, because if sinful reactions goes away, at least you won't engage, if you don't engage in further sinful activities, you can become free from another birth, come out of that, right? So, but, even if you have become free from sinful life, right, there is possibility that you may commit sinful activities again. You have wiped out all your sinful reactions, right? Temporarily you have become free from sinful activities, right? But vasanas have not gone. Vasana is still there, is it not? That is a problem. Vasana is still, modes of vasanas are going to come out, right? Vasana will only go when there is knowledge. Otherwise vasana won't go, right? That means only through self-realization this vasana gets destroyed. There is no other way. So that verse, Sangetyam Parihasyam va Soham Helanam eva va Vaikunda Namagrahanam Ashesha Akaharam Vidhu, that verse is true up to this point of wiping out the sinful reactions, right? And then, in order to destroy the vasana, we have to go another step. What is that? With seriousness, Sharanagadi and the bhakti, one has to, sincere heart, one has to surrender to Krishna and he has to glorify him for vasanas to grow. See, the results of sinful reactions will go away if you chant the holy name. Whichever way you chant, Sangetyam, Parihasyam, Stobham, Helanam, different ways of chanting. Even if you do that, you will become free from sinful reactions. But your vasanas won't go. If vasanas have to go, then one has to surrender to Krishna and engage in kirtanam. Engage in kirtanam. And if one surrenders completely and engage in kirtanam, what was spoken here, sankirtanam, right? In due course of time, he will realize the self. Almanibhavam will come. Chitta Shuddhi will come, bhakti will come, and jnanam will come, and self-realization will happen to that person at a later date. At a later date, right? So that is the next stage in spiritual life. First of all, chanting the holy name takes away all sinful reactions from what we have done before. These are all benefits for the Kali Yugam only. Not in other yugam, these things, these conditions, like we say, T's and C's apply, they say. So these are the T's and C's for the Kali Yugam. It applies for Kali Yugam. Then you become free from the sinful reactions. But remember this, that vasanas have not gone. Suppose vasanas have not gone, what will happen? That vasana will force us to perform more sinful activities. And with the result that we will fall back into this. So you are not getting liberated. Freedom from this suffering does not happen. So if that has to happen, Shivabrahmashri is saying here that vasana will only go with proper self-realization, jnanam. And there is no other way of destroying the vasana. And for that, bhakti is required. And for that, you have to chant the holy name and sharanagati, surrender to Krishna. Right? So that is Sankirtanam. And hearing about Krishna, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, and if you engage in this upasana process on a regular basis, right, in due course of time, you will realize the self and you will get released from this. So you can see this in the 10th canto. Yeah? When we began Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, Parikshit said this to Krishna. What did he say to him? He said to him the same principle here, what is spoken here. Thirteenth verse, you see there, 10th canto, 1st chapter, 13th verse. Naishadi dussaha chunmam tyaktodam abhibhadhate pibandam tunmukham bojam chudam harikathamrudam. This is what why Parikshit said that verse. It is because of this. That sinful reactions have gone by chanting the holy name, but vasanas have not gone. So he is saying here, Naishadi dusaha chunmam tyaktodam abhibhadate pibandam tunmukham bhojam yachudam harikathamradam. That without having a sip of water and without having any food, not caring for hunger or thirst, right? I am sitting here to listen from your face. What? Harikathamradam. About Krishna, right? And that is what keeping me my life in this body. He didn't have 7 days, he has not eaten. And this is happening on the 5th day, the 10th canto. On the 5th day he is saying, so that means 5 days he has fasted, not a drop of water, no food either, no sleep. And this is how he is living. Imagine that, the strength in Parikshit, right? So he is saying there that what keeps me going now is this. Hearing about Krishna. So from that you can understand that that Harikatha Aswathanam, hearing Krishna about Krishna, right? Without hunger or thirst, and similarly he has completely forgotten about his own body, body maintenance, Deha Vismriti. No identification with the body, right? Completely focused on the Krishna Katha and become one with that. Forgetting about time and space, and including forgetting about his own body, way so concentrated and focused he was in hearing Bhagavatam. In hearing Bhagavatam, right? So you can understand from that how Parikshit was hearing Bhagavatam. We are also hearing Bhagavatam. But how Parikshit was hearing Bhagavatam, you can see from this. Right? So, therefore, he had to hear it only once. That was sufficient for him. Right? And the experience came from that straight away. The result also. He came, heard only once, but the result was straight away happened to him. Right? So, it also shows that how genuine he is, how serious, sincere and genuine he is, right? And that shows his bhakti and his attachment to Krishna, right? So, everything depends on bhakti inside. If one has that bhakti and we are not having that. Why is that? Because within us, we only want that much Krishna. We don't want Krishna to that extent, right? And our sincerity also is questionable sometimes, right? So, accordingly, we get the results also in the same way, right? If you hear Bhagavatam, it is never a waste, never goes wasted, right? Even if you have heard it once, it is not gone wasted, right? But the results won't come easily. The bhakti, the concentration, and the sincerity, and that purity of heart, what Parikshit had, we need to get that also, right? And we are making progress, but to get to Parikshit stage, we have only one choice left. Keep on hearing this till we get it. That's the only option left for us. Actually, Shravanam is a very, very, very complicated thing. It's not so simple as we think. We think we have gone to Srimad Bhagavatam to hear Bhagavatam. But within ourselves, there is so many other factors to be taken into account. It is all mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Only thing is we have not taken notice of it. That is our problem, right? Shravanam is like this, that we hear something, but then what happens? The mind comes in. All the time you are judging thing, what is spoken, with the mind. And if you hear it like that, it won't work. This is the problem. Whenever the mind comes in and gets what you heard, and that is why they say while hearing, we have to be very aware of this. We are not actually hearing. Who is hearing? Krishna is hearing. Antaryami is hearing, but actually we are not conscious of that. We are thinking we are hearing. Yeah? Because we are thinking we are hearing, that means Jiva is hearing, not Antaryami. Jiva is hearing. And if Jiva is hearing, we start thinking our mind will naturally come in there. And mind will start evaluating everything what you heard. And when the mind start, and mind will add to it and put some spanner there, and it will not allow you to get the essence from that. So therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam, actually who hears Bhagavatam? Krishna is hearing Bhagavatam. It is a well-known thing. Krishna is speaking and Krishna is hearing. This is why at the end of Srimad Bhagavatam, that famous words, Kasmayena vibhasito yamadilo, Jnana Pradipapura, Tudrubenaja, Naradaya Munaye, Krishnaya Tudrubina. Krishna spoke Bhagavatam to whom? To Brahma. And who heard? Brahma didn't hear. Krishna, sitting in the heart of Brahma, heard. That means Brahma's Antaryami heard what Krishna has spoken. And it is that Antaryami who is hearing Bhagavatam, not you, not Brahma. Similarly, sitting in the heart of Brahma, Krishna spoke Bhagavatam. As Antaryami, he spoke Bhagavatam to Narada Maharshi. And sitting is Narada Maharshi's heart, Krishna heard Bhagavatam. So always the speaker and the listener is Krishna, not the Jiva. So when Jiva thinks he is hearing, it's a misunderstanding. Jiva is not hearing. So if we are able to hear Bhagavatam without interference from the Jiva, then that Antaryami will be benefited straight away, and Antaryami will make the changes what is necessary. That is how it happens. Krishna sat in the heart of Brahma and spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna sitting in the heart of Sri Narada Maharshi heard Bhagavatam. Krishna heard Bhagavatam from Narada Maharshi. Krishna sitting in the heart of Narada Maharshi spoke Bhagavatam. Krishna sitting in the heart of Vedavyas heard Bhagavatam. Krishna sitting in the heart of Vedavyasa spoke Bhagavatam. Krishna sitting in the heart of Sri Shuka Brahmarshi heard Bhagavatam. Krishna spoke sitting in the heart of Sri Shuka Brahmarshi Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna sitting in the heart of Parikshit heard Srimad Bhagavatam. This is how Srimad Bhagavatam has flown. This is the way hearing process. And this we have to understand first, that this is how it works. And so therefore, while sitting to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, we should not allow the mind to interfere. And we have to get out of that habit of sometimes people come and then they listen for one or two days and then they evaluate what was spoken and they give you some remark and then they go. That is not going to help. That's not going to help. You have to understand the principle of Shravanam. Shravanam is like this. You have to sit in such a way that mind is not involving, simply allow the Antaryami to hear. If Antaryami hears that, the benefit will be there, has to be there. That's the principle of Shravanam. That is why that verse was put at the end of Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam has transmitted in this way from Krishna right up to the way up to the Shobramashi, and it applies to all, everybody. And forever in the future, Sridhar Swami also says the same thing. Yeah. So, it is. So, in order that to happen, that to come to that stage, one has to repeatedly hear Bhagavatam till the mind stops interfering. It will happen. Initially, it won't happen. After a while, you will start realizing that you have nothing to do. The mind will withdraw. But it takes time. And there will be a feeling inside that somebody is hearing Bhagavatam inside, right? So, and it is for that purpose this repeated hearing is spoken, non-stop, continuously hearing. One day it will have its effect, right? Vedavyasa Maharshi says this in the Brahma Sutram. What he says is, when you continuously do this Shravanam Kirtanam process, right, with the imagination like the way Parikshit Maharaj has done, and if you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, gradually that concentration, egagrada, will come and that will develop into bhakti. When bhakti comes, the mind will push up. That is what is called a chitta shuddhi. Mind not interfering is called a chitta shuddhi. When we say chitta shuddhi is nothing but mind not interfering in your day-to-day life, in your spiritual life, in other words. Your Alpha is doing everything. Antaryami is doing everything for you. Actually, Antaryami is doing everything all the time. But because of this mind only, we have all the problems. We think we are doing it. It's not. But once mind withdraws, mind comes and gives problem in material life and spiritual life, both. Mind, and we are become so surrendered to mind, that we are finding it difficult to understand how spiritual life works. We are thinking that the mind we will manipulate. Mind has no entry there. Mind withdraws and then Antaryami comes in and takes over at that moment, right? So, if we do like that, he says here, Vedavyasa says there that self-realization will happen one day, right? Till then this sadhana has to continue. The word he has used is in Brahma Sutram, avarti asakrit ubadeshad, he says. Avarti asakrit ubadeshad. The three words he has used. Avarti means keep on repeating this again and again and again till the mind withdraws from inside. And Antaryami directly relates with the message, right? Asakrit Upadesham, Upadesham of the Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, all that. Right? So, Sankirtanam, here Japam is not spoken. Nama Japam, chanting the holy name, right? Simply by Japam alone, this won't happen. Japam also requires bhakti, shraddha, and this concentration, all these things. Only then the results will come faster, right? All faster means self-realization will happen. At least at some point, when we say mind withdraw means what? Mind goes and dissolves in the Antaryami. That is Tanmayatva, it is called. Becoming one with Antaryami. And this oneness of the mind with Antaryami only happens with bhakti. With bhakti. If bhakti comes, this concentration will come, shraddha will come, and mind will gradually dissolve, and chanting the holy name, shravanam, kirtanam. In this way, bhakti has to develop in heart and become firm, and the mind has to dissolve. So, when that happens, the oneness of the mind, dissolving the mind in the Antaryami, when that happens, the mind will not give you any more trouble after that. Right? And that is when Antaryami to Antaryami happens, everything. No more Jiva dealing anything. Jiva pulled out. Mind gone means Jiva gone. Jiva is not interfering anymore. And with that, the Antaryami speaks to Antaryami straight away. That's what he is saying here. Right? And then he said that in the next verse, Nahyada paramo labho dehinam brahmyadam iha yado vindeda paramam shandim nashyadi samsruti. Shukabrahmashi is saying to us that you are in Kali Yuga. There is not much we can do about your situation, right? Kali Yuga means all these problems in life, uncontrolled mind, uncontrolled senses, then so many desires inside, kamam, krodham, raga, dvesham, then added to that, I am the doer, enjoyer, all these are specific to Kali Yuga. These things are specific to Kali Yuga. Kali's nature is all these things, right? So, and due to that, we are stuck in this world. And he is saying here that chanting the holy name is the best method for these jivas in the Kali Yuga. He's saying there, right? With holy name alone, one can take the shelter, protect himself from that, and become free from this illusion of this material world. That's how he finishes that, right? So he's saying that in Kali Yuga, human species has got, this is the biggest profit in Kali Yuga. Just by chanting the holy name alone, Namam and Shravanam Kirtanam, Gunam, and that is the prophet of Kali Yuga, and that Nama Sankirtanam gives them Shanti and finally self-realization, right? And connection with the material world is over then. So, Kali Galam, or this Kali Yuga, the greatest prophet is chanting the holy name as much as one can do, right? And puja and deity worship and all that, you may not be able to do it in Kali Yuga properly. We know that, how difficult it is. It's not. It is difficult. You can claim yourself that you are doing a good job, but it is not so. In various departments of deity worship, we have fallen behind. First of all, ingredients are not available. The right ingredients. Everything you take, the grains are grown artificially. The milk is produced artificially. And vegetables are produced artificially. And then the people who are doing all these things, they are also very artificial. They are also not very genuine. Because there is some profits in the mind people have. And apart from that, they are not trained and educated in a spiritual culture properly. That problem is also there. No spiritual background. That means the samskaram that should have come with people to execute deity worship, they don't have it. So many problems like that. It's nobody's fault. It's just the age of Kali. Like that. Yeah. So because of all these things, there could be so many faults in what we are doing with the deity worship. And there will be so many mistakes in that, right? But holy name doesn't have these problems. The holy name. If you take the upasana with the holy name, these problems doesn't exist, right? Even if something goes wrong, right, you won't get any negative reaction from that. Whereas in deity worship it does. If you do not perform the deity worship in the proper way, with the rules and regulations, the mistakes what you commit there, it could have negative reaction from that. There is shastram behind all those things, right? But holy name does not have that problem. Even if you make mistakes, there is no negative reaction from that. That is why Krishna says Javayatyam, chanting the holy name, right? So then after saying that, Krishna is saying that, sorry, Shiva Brahmashi is saying that those who are born in Satyayugam, seeing how easy everything is in Kaliyugam, whereas in Kratayugam you have to perform dhyana meditation for a long period of time. But you are given good facilities, but you have to take a long time for perfection and you lived a long life. Whereas in Kaliyugam life is short, the process is simple, extremely simple compared to all the other three yugams. So therefore they come to like to take birth in Kaliyugam. He says here, Kritadishu Prajarajan Kalau Vichandi Sambhavam Kalau Ghalu Bhavishyandi Narayana Parayana. Right? The Kaliyugam has one beauty. Beauty of Kaliyugam is, in Kaliyugam there will be many, many, many devotees who will appear and who have completely surrendered to Krishna. They will appear, that is exclusive to Kaliyugam. In Kaliyugam, great personalities will appear who are totally surrendered to Krishna to show the way to others. They will come in the age of Kali, says Shuga Brahmarshi, right? So we'll stop there today and we'll meet tomorrow morning with Bhagavad Gita. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.